I'm with you.
Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Flake.
Here.
Blevins.
Here.
Flickrey.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Coleman.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Filer.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Gay.
Here.
Gingery.
Here.
Goggles.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Green.
Here.
Halverson. Harshman,
here.
Harvey,
here.
Hunt,
here.
Hutchings,
here.
Yagi,
here.
Kasparik,
here.
Kirkbride,
here.
Croker,
here.
Crone,
here.
Larson,
here.
Lockhart,
here.
Laux,
here.
Madden,
here.
McKim,
here.
Miller,
here.
Moniz,
here.
Nicholas,
here.
Northrup,
here.
Patton,
here.
Paxton,
here.
Petroff,
here.
Piperinen,
here.
Reeder,
here.
Simlick,
here.
Summers excused. Stubson.
Here.
Cheaters.
Here.
Throne.
Here.
Wallace.
Here.
Walters.
Here.
Watt.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
Winters.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
59 present, 1 excused.
The prayer of today is offered by Father August Caney, representing St. Mary's Cathedral, Cheyenne. Let us pray. St. Paul's letter to the Hebrews, chapter 3, verse 7. The Holy Spirit says, today, if you will listen to his voice, do not harden your hearts. Many people ask why God doesn't answer my prayers. The real question to ask, do I listen to God? Listening to God means to read the scriptures or a spiritual book, and when something touches my heart, that is God speaking to us. Saint Benedict, who founded the monasticism in the West back in the 5th century, teaches us that once the heart hears the message, we have to constantly meditate and contemplate it so that the message we hear can grow deeper within us. Listening to others in this chamber also takes a lot of focus and a sincere heart, which can help to resolve many difficult issues. Lord God, you are the wisdom on high that has touched our world. Help us always have that listening heart. Give us that spirit of contemplation, so as we deal with one another, we may find true and lasting solutions which will benefit our state and the people of Wyoming. Amen.
With that order of business of Journal Committee report.
Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 19, 2013 has been read and recommends that it be approved, signed by Representatives Winters and Filer.
Representative Escobel, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to introduce the page of the day. He's making his fourth appearance here. This is Senator Escobel's grandson, my great-nephew, Dario Mountain Escobel. Or Escobel Mountain, I guess. The family.
Say the Escobel part first.
Representative Baker, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have with me today Jaden Adams. He is the son of my beautiful lady up there. Just a quick comment. When she was here last time being the nurse of the day, I had two people ask me if she was my daughter. So I don't know if that had anything to do with her braces, but her braces came off yesterday, so hopefully I don't get those comments anymore. So welcome Carrie back and Jaden to the house.
To introduce the doctor of the day, the veterinarian of the house, Representative Barlow, privilege of the floor.
Mr. Speaker, thank you very much. It's my pleasure to introduce our doctor of the day, a friend from Casper, Wyoming, radiologist, super good guy, classmate of mine in Leadership Wyoming, Dr. Joe McGinley.
Dr. McGinley, welcome to the house. The nurses of the day are Annetta Cantland and Heidi Pierce from the Wyoming State Hospital. Welcome to the house. Representative McKim, privilege of the floor.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker. Thank you. In our north balcony, we're pleased to introduce, Representative Halverson and myself, the Star Valley Middle School Student Council. They're accompanied by their principal, Kim Gazaire, teacher, Mr. Johnson and Mrs. Johnson, and their bus driver, Blair Hillstead. Would you please welcome all the way from Star Valley, the Star Valley Middle School. Stand up, please.
Awesome. Welcome to the house. Representative Escobel, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In your box, folks, we left a registration form for the Race for the Cure on August 10th. Now, the legislature's always had a team in the Race for the Cure, and Representative Lockhart and I are co-chairs, legislative co-chairs for the race. And in 2009-2010, we got first place as for the team. And on my desk in 2011, I got the second place trophy. But last year, we didn't place at all. But we did raise a lot of money. I think we raised like $1,700. We're hoping that everybody would at least register. You don't have to be here, but you can fill out the form and you get the shirt. And if you happen to be in Cheyenne on August 10th, please join us for the Race for the Cure. I think last year we had like 10,000 participants. And I think that it's even more special for this body this year since one of our own is actually going through this terrible disease. All our thoughts and prayers are with her and everybody else that's went through this. So we appreciate your support. And Chairman Lockhart, would you like to say anything?
Oh, I never pass an opportunity to talk about the Race for the Cure. My wife and I have participated in this for about 15 years. And just as a way of filling the gap, Bob Nicholas ran 1 year, and he was home and showered by the time I got in. And so the point is that you don't have to be a runner. You can just contribute and not be a phantom runner, or you can come and run and walk, which is what Lynn and I do. But that 10,000 people, they're raising money to help women identify breast cancer problems and then the ultimate cure. So I urge your support of the program.
Any more privileges of the floor? Brothers and sisters, we have about 35 bills left out there on general file. We have about 3 days to get them done. You do the math. With that, we're at that order of business of adoption of joint... Are we at adoption? Patty? We're at that order of business of reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 34, engrossed Law Enforcement Academy Director duties, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Connolly, Gingery, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Walters, and Watts, signed by Representative Gingery, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 118, engrossed, Eminent Domain 2, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Campbell, Eklund, Greer, Hunt, McKim, Simlick, Winters, two no votes, Representatives Blake and Dan Zwanenser, and signed by Representative Simlick, Chairman.
We're at that order of business of request to concur with Senate amendments to House bills. The first message for our consideration is message number 319 on House Bill 31. Chairman Harshman. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence. Message number 319. On original House Bill 31 and ask for your aye vote. Members, if you look at this, the Senate in their wisdom added four words, to the extent practical. And this deals with the printing of the state constitution. Our House position is that half of these we know are given away. We weren't worried about that. We were concerned about the other half and that it would be a break-even proposition. And the Senate simply added, to the extent practical, that these fees will cover the costs. So gave a little bit of wiggle room. I think probably made the bill better and easier to manage. So I'd urge your concurrence, your aye vote. Stand for questions.
We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 31. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins,
aye.
Flickery,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Bird,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Coleman,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Filer,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic, Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Summers excused, Stubson,
no.
Teeters,
Throne,
aye. Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
no.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanenser Dan,
aye.
Zwanenser Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
Nicholas, Nicholas,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 2 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 31. The next message for our consideration is message number 324 on House Bill 109. Chairman Semler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on message 324 on House Bill 109, Interstate Shipment of State-Inspected Meats. You might remember that this bill in the House kind of migrated into a study bill allowing the Wyoming Department of Agriculture to undertake and review and identification of those acts necessary to participate in a cooperative interstate shipment program for meat. And there's a requirement for reporting in that in terms of a date. The conference report would suggest that we change that date from August 15th to October 15th to allow the department more time to report to the Joint Ag Committee. So I would ask for your aye vote.
We're voting on a motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 109. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman. Harvey,
aye.
Hunt, Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers excused, Stubson,
aye.
Cheaters,
aye.
Throne. Throne. Wallace.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 109. The next message for our consideration is message 326 on House Bill 122. Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence of message 326 to House Bill 122. All this does is the bill is on the ID for alcoholic beverages, and it just removes on page 2, or by an official government agency of Canada or Mexico. It takes that out, so I think this is a good amendment. Thank you.
We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 122. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird. Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Coleman,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Filer,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart, Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers excused, Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 2 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 122. The next message for our consideration is message number 330 on House Bill 161. Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on message 330 of House Bill 161 and ask for your aye vote. I spoke with the sponsor and we looked this over and we're just taking away the part that the legislature micromanages YDOT. This is the bill about the outdoor advertising. It let them increase the fees and possibly a little bit of double talk there on the part that we had in. So we both believe that it's a good amendment that the Senate put on and would ask for your aye vote.
Any discussion? Hearing none, we are voting on a motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 161. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker. Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Esquivel, aye.
Filer,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
no.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller, Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petrov,
aye.
Piperinen,
no.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
no.
Summers excused, Stubson,
no.
Stubson conflict, Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
no.
Watt,
no.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
no.
Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Davison, aye to no. Yagi, aye to no. Burkhart, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Gay, aye to no. Are there further changes? The vote is closed. 44 aye, 14 no, 1 excused, 1 conflict.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 161. The next message for our consideration is message 332 on House Bill 55. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence with message number 332, House Bill 55, and ask for your no vote. The changes that were made in the Senate, I don't think they fully understood what we tried to communicate with them. I think with a meeting we can clear up the differences on what they presumed and correct this bill to what it should be. And so I'd urge your no vote.
Any discussion? We are voting on a motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 55. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
No.
Barlow,
aye.
Berger,
no.
Blake,
no.
Blevins,
no.
Flickery,
no.
Brown,
no.
Burkhart,
no.
Byrd,
aye.
Byrd,
aye.
Campbell,
no.
Kennedy,
no.
Coleman,
no.
Connolly,
no.
Davison,
no.
Eklund,
no.
Esquivel,
no.
Filer,
no.
Freeman,
no.
Gay,
no.
Gingery,
no.
Goggles,
no.
Greer, Green,
no.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
no.
Hunt,
no.
Hutchings,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Kasparic,
no.
Kirkbride,
no.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
no.
Larson,
no.
Lockhart,
no.
Laux,
no.
Madden,
no.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Northrup,
no.
Patton,
no.
Paxton,
no.
Petrov, Piperinen,
no.
Reeder,
no.
Simlick,
no.
Summers excused, Stubson,
no.
Teeters,
no.
Throne,
no.
Wallace,
no.
Walters,
no.
Watt,
no.
Wilson,
no.
Winters,
no.
Zwanitzer Dan,
no.
Zwanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker,
no.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 2 ayes, 57 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you voted not to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 55. Conference Committee on House Bill 55 is Lockhart, Chairman Greer, and Larson. The next message for our consideration is message number 334 on House Bill 175. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move message number 334, which relates to House Bill number 175, and would ask you to vote no. And just to remind you about what this bill was, it's the juvenile citation notification by law enforcement. And so what the bill was, it said, after issuing any citation, so this would be a kid that got an MUI or, you know, at a party or something, they're going to write them a ticket. They're going to hand them the ticket. What this bill says is after issuing any citation to a child for violation of a state or federal law or municipal ordinance for which incarceration or a fine may be imposed, the law enforcement agency issuing the citation, and this is what's important, what the original bill said, shall take all reasonable and necessary actions to notify the child's parent, guardian, or custodian. In committee, in the Judiciary Committee, we took out the shall take all reasonable and necessary actions, and we put in shall attempt. And that was a huge difference to us in committee. We probably would have voted this bill down if that attempt hadn't gotten in there, because law enforcement actually gave pretty good explanation as to why the take all reasonable and necessary actions. The problem is, and the best example I heard was, so you have a kid at a party, mom and dad have cruised off to Vegas or something for the weekend, and they can't find mom and dad, and they can't track them down, and the officer has to go through all this rigmarole trying to find those parents. And at what point do they stop trying to find the parent? So that's why we thought the word attempt was a much better word, that you're attempting to find that parent, to tell them, because all you're telling them is, hey, your kid got a ticket. By taking it back to all reasonable and necessary actions, which is what the Senate did, they took out the House position and they put it back to the original bill, and I'm sure the bill sponsor is going to tell you why the original bill was a better bill. But I'm going to tell you, if it's back to the original bill, I think this is a bill that needs to die, because it's a bill that will not work in the law enforcement community. I think we stick with the House position and we go to conference and we talk about with the senators about the distinction between attempt and taking all reasonable and necessary actions. I think there's a big difference, and I'd urge you to vote no.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think contrary to what the good chairman said, this what the Senate did, it does not take it back to the original bill. It takes it back to somewhere between what we did and the original bill. The point of this bill is to make reasonable efforts to notify parents. I think the flaw in the good chairman's reasoning is that he assumes you have to do this the night you pick up the child. There is absolutely nothing in this bill that says notify immediately, notify the day you pick them up. It doesn't say you have to call them. It can be a form letter to the parent. And so I think this is a reasonable compromise. Also, it's not even required that the law enforcement agency themselves do it. It can be their designee, which is a change that the House made that remains in the bill. So I think it's a flexible approach. If you interpret it in an extreme way, as the good chairman just did, then it would be very burdensome for law enforcement. But that's not what the bill says with the Senate amendment. It's just take reasonable steps. It can be, you know, 5 days later. It can be the day of. Whatever works for law enforcement. Parents need to know when their children receive a citation. It's how we prevent problems. The parents can get involved. But if they find out too late after a bench warrant has been issued, then we have real problems. So I'd urge you to vote aye on concurrence.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time. Second time prior to the chairman. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The only difference between what they did, they took out the word and between reasonable and necessary, and they put take all reasonable actions necessary. So to me, it took it back to the original bill. It just other than that word and is not between the two words. I think there is a big distinction here, and this is going to be a pretty big burden on our law enforcement. These form letters that now we're talking about sending out, does the officer put off his investigations for more important crimes because he needs to run back to the police station and start writing up these form letters and notifying the parent? The attempt thing was a lot better. The attempt was telling people, hey, your kid got in trouble. You need to know that. Putting it back to all this reasonable and necessary, I think we're going to have some real problems. I'd just like to go to conference committee and talk this out. I'd urge you to vote no.
We're voting on a motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 175. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
No.
Flickery.
No.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Coleman.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison. Eklund,
no.
Esquivel,
aye.
Filer,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
no.
Gingery,
no.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
no.
Green,
no.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
no.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Kasparic,
no.
Kirkbride,
no.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
no.
Larson, Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
no.
Madden,
no.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Northrup,
no.
Patton,
no.
Paxton,
no.
Petrov,
no.
Pieperinen,
no.
Reeder,
no.
Simlek,
no.
Summers excused, Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Walters, Watt, Wilson, Winters, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Lockhart, aye to no. Watt, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 17 aye, 42 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted not to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 175. We're now at that order of business of adoption of joint conference committee reports. The first report for our consideration is joint conference committee report number one on Senate file, or on House Bill 52. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on House Bill 52, which is Senate Reference Number 275, and urge your aye vote. It just took a meeting to sit down and really walk through what we had originally and a better understanding on the other side. And with that, the proposed changes that are attached were an improvement, and I'd urge your aye vote.
Chairman Lockhart.
I had one other thing in mind. This is a very good bill.
We're voting on Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1, Senate Message 75 to House Bill 52. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison. Eklund, Esquivel, Filer, Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petrov.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Semlek.
Aye.
Summers excused. Stubson.
Aye.
Cheaters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1, Senate Message Number Senate Message Number 275 on House Bill Number 52. The next message for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1, House Message 341 on House Bill 45. Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move adoption of Joint Conference Committee Report on Senate File 45 and ask for your aye vote. This is the hardship license that we had. When it left here, it was with one person, one non-member. They added it, they moved it up to three, so we compromised on two non-members that you can have with this hardship driver's license. So I urge your aye vote.
We're voting on Joint Conference Committee Report. Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Majority Whip. Whoa! Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against Conference Committee Report and asking for your no vote. You know, we had a pretty thoughtful and thorough discussion in this body about consistency among these driver's licenses for younger age drivers. And this is, I think, one of those circumstances where halfway doesn't really get it done, because we still have a circumstance where 14 and 15-year-old drivers are given more freedoms than 16-year-old drivers. And so, you know, we've got plenty of time to talk about this. And so I just urge your no vote. I think we can go back and maybe... Twist some arms. I don't know how to say that, but please vote no on the conference committee report. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would encourage your aye vote. As you get to the 15 and 16-year-old age, you get your own driver's license. So it's not as important how many people you can have with you. And this is the hardship part of this whole bill. So I would encourage your aye vote.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, I'd encourage the no vote for what the good whip talked about. When you turn 16, you're allowed to carry one non-family member in your vehicle. So, as he stated, this will have changing rules. 14 and 15, you'll have more rights, although driving, I think, is a privilege in our state, but more rights than a 16-year-old would, and I think create confusion. And I think there's plenty of time. We'll be here for probably another week to get this fixed. So I urge your no vote.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Having been the mother of four teenagers, they don't get any smarter between 14 and 16. And I really think that this is that I would urge your no vote on this, and let's let them grow up. And it usually takes about 21, 22 before they get really smart, or actually it's before we get smart again. But I would urge your vote not on this concurrence.
Are there any more chairmen that want to talk on this conference committee report? Representative Nicholas.
I represent your aye vote, and so does Mr. Piggy.
Yeah. Madam Speaker Pro Tem.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I can't, Mr. Speaker, I can't resist the oink oink, but moo back to you. Anyway, as a former sponsor of graduated driver's license, I would ask you to vote no. We've come a long way, and we've saved a lot of lives by changing the number of passengers in a vehicle. And so I think it's worth negotiating another day.
Anybody else for their first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to remind the body this goes into open discussion on the second conference committee, and we delete the whole thing. There's actually no restrictions on how many people that you can have as a hardship license. You can have 8 people in there. So this is an attempt to limit the number. And so we talk about the discrepancies between the hardship license and the 14 and 15-year-olds at the moment. Well, a 14-year-old can have 8 people in the Suburban, and if you turn 15 or 16, as the other fine folks that are asking to vote no mention, then you can only have 1. So I would look at an aye vote.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you. In all seriousness, once again, I had 2 children. Both of them had this hardship license. They picked up the 2 neighbors to go to school about every day. You know, you're driving a 3,000 or 4,000-pound vehicle, going at certain speeds down the highway, and driving a vehicle is a dangerous thing. But the driving is a dangerous thing. It's not the 14 or 15-year-old responsible kid who's performing a function that can't otherwise be performed because of a particular hardship. And I just encourage you that, I mean, I think this is more of an emotional thing for some folks just saying, oh, it may be a dangerous thing. But once again, no one has brought forward one instance in the past 30 years where this hardship license has created some type of bad risk or anything. We don't even have examples of it. Folks are just doing it for an emotional reason. There are reasons why we have hardship licenses, and if you limit down to just 2, then accomplishes the purpose of the hardship license. So I'd really encourage you an aye vote on this. Thank you.
You're out of order, Representative Nicholas. Representative Blake.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate all the debate on this. But I just would urge your aye vote. This is a hardship license. It is mostly in the rural communities, but not necessarily just the rural communities. It says if we open this back up, it may go back to the way it is now, which is no restriction. So I urge your aye vote. Thank you.
We are voting on Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1, Report Number House Message 341 to House Bill or Senate File 45. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Berger. Blake,
aye.
Blevins,
aye.
Blickery,
no.
Brown,
no.
Burkhart,
no.
Bird,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Coleman,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Davison,
no.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Filer,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
no.
Gingery,
no.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Halverson, Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
no.
Hunt,
no.
Hutchings,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Kasparik,
no.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
no.
Lockhart,
no.
Laux,
yes.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas, Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
no.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
no.
Pieperinen,
no.
Reeder,
no.
Semlick,
aye.
Summers excused, Stubson,
no.
Teeters,
no.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
no.
Watt,
no.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
no.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 29 aye, 30 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you failed to adopt Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on Senate File 45. Conference Committee Number 2 is Blake, McKim, and Wilson. Blake Chairman. Conference Committee on House Bill 175 is Thrun Chairman, Walters, and Nicholas. The next conference committee, or the next report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee Report number 2 on Senate File 105, House Message 310. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd move adoption of Joint Conference Committee Report on Senate File 105. Members, there's really three issues that we changed since we passed this bill. The first has to do with the safety and security study. We've learned more information. We had appropriated some money to that and required a study, and really it's being done in the executive branch downstairs, and really I think it was unnecessary for us to include this in the school CapCon bill, and so we pulled that money and that study out, and that is reflected in the deletions that you see at the top of the message, and it's the second amendment that's deleted, the Senate File 105 House Standing Committee, so that's where that went away. The next issue was about effective dates. We had, in Appropriations Committee, just made all dates effective immediately, and really there's probably, it's not necessary on the CapCon piece, so we went back to the original language in the bill where design and planning money is effective immediately, but the CapCon money is not effective till 5 months from now on July 1st. So we thought that was a better way to do that. And then really the biggest issue was really the House Committee of the Whole Amendment, and that is on second page of your conference committee report where it says page 11, line 5, and it refers to those areas in the bill where we tell the director and the governor to maximize cost savings, optimize Wyoming workforce, provide for construction throughout the state, and prevent unnecessary delays. And it was brought by a member from Sheridan County that the language was that no decision rendered by the director under this paragraph is a discretionary determination not subject to judicial review. We kept that language because the other body was pretty adamant on it, given the fact that we've appropriated in this budget now some $600 million in CapCon to give the executive branch the flexibility to not drive up costs with inflationary pressure. So we inserted, your House members inserted, after that judicial review period, we deleted the period and added a semicolon and said a school district's only relief is to the Wyoming legislature. And we thought that was and really that's where it belongs anyway, is because we have really the duty and the real power vested in us to make sure the school capital construction system does not fail. And so with that, I would stand for any questions, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The question is obvious with the change on page 11, line 5, that the district's only relief is to the Wyoming legislature. We only meet 60 days in a two-year period. And part of that is constrained to budget items. What kind of relief is this? Do you really believe that or is it intended that if they do ask for relief that it stops the further consideration? Like an answer on that.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time. Second time prior to the chairman. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To answer that, really, is the intent is not to slow anything down, but really, if you look at the legislative relief that we provided to districts on school CapCon, I would suggest that it's been much quicker than any judicial relief has been. And we have been pretty prompt, even though we meet just once a year. It has moved considerably quicker, I think, than the judicial branch. So, again, I'd urge your aye vote. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We're voting on...
Mr. Speaker.
You're out of order. Second time prior to the sponsor, he's the sponsor. We're voting on Message number 310 on school capital construction, Senate file 105. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
No.
Connolly. Davison,
no.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Filer,
no.
Filer,
no.
Freeman,
no.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
no.
Greer,
no.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Kasparik,
no.
Kasparik, Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
no.
Larson,
no.
Lockhart,
no.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
no.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
no.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
no.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers excused, Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne, Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
no.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Connolly, aye to no. Blake, aye to no. Swanitzer Dan, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 37 aye, 22 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Report Number 310 to House Bill Senate File 105. Representative Crone, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As members of the House know, I'm very fortunate. I've got two number ones on my license plate, and I've got a lot of dear friends. And I'd like to introduce to the House one of my dear friends, Kristen McGarry-Burkhausen, who is up from Colorado and probably the best lawyer in the House right now. So please welcome her. No offense, Mr. Speaker. Please welcome her to the House.
Representative Swanitzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your conference committee on Senate File 36 will be meeting at 12:30 today in S-19.
We are now at that order of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 23.
Senate File 23 from the Minerals Committee, an act relating to economic development.
Senate File 23 having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Oh, wait, I'm
point
sorry.
Order.
I've got an amendment here. Snuck in on me. It's not so ordered. Whoa. Okay. There are a whole series of amendments on Senate File 23. The first amendment is Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I would move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 23. Ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, we had a discussion yesterday about the amount of the loans, the total amount of loans that could be lended for this purpose. And I understood the intent was to cap that at $5 million. This additional language just says that. After $5 million have been issued, no further loans will be issued without further legislative approval. So I would ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In working with a good representative, we would concur that this is a friendly amendment and would urge your support.
Chairman Lockhart. No. All right, we were voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 23. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 23 has passed the House. We're now on second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 23. Representative Barlow.
Mr. Speaker, I would respectfully move second reading amendment number 2 to House Senate File 23. Ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, what this does, we had some discussion yesterday about the $1 million that we are up to, $1 million that we would allow for this program. But I went back and looked at the other opportunities that private business has to participate in this. There are several other ways. Loan guarantee participation, which is capped at 50%, not to exceed $1 million. The Wyoming Main Street loan participation, which is capped at 75% or $100,000, whichever is less. So I thought it was appropriate, instead of having a 100% or up to $1 million, that we say 75% or $1 million, whichever is least. So I would ask for your favorable consideration, as I think this is consistent with policy that we already have. Thank you.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We would also agree that this is puts the language of the bill in more consistent with the existing language in statute and would encourage your support of this amendment.
Anyone else for your first time? First time. Second time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Voting on second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 23, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 23 carries. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There were a couple of questions that were asked yesterday that we thought were important to respond to. Circulated in your in-basket is a comparison of natural gas prices forecast against oil, and oil could be a surrogate for gasoline. And this is one of many that are in the same bracket, but as you look out there, that differential lasts, at least by this chart, until 2030. And so if we see movements in those natural gas prices, we see movements in gasoline prices, but at least this forecast, and it was considered consistent with others that we had during the interim, that reflect there's going to be a differential for a number of years out there, which encourages the use and conversion to natural gas transportation fuel.
Representative, we really don't have anything pending. That was more in the nature of a privilege of the floor, Chairman Lockhart. Representative Larson, do you want privilege of the floor as well?
May I? Mr. Speaker, also just in reflecting on one of the questions yesterday, it was asked how high would the cost of natural gas have to be in order to equal what we're paying for gasoline at the pumps now. If natural gas were selling at $18 an MCF, it's currently around $3.50 an MCF, but if with the formula that I received overnight, if natural gas were selling at $18 an MCF, which is wishful thinking, our pump price then would be at the same as what gasoline is. So thank you, Mr. Chair, or Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Larson, or Representative Larson, if natural gas were selling at $18 an MCF, we could build a natural gas station in every house. Senate File 23 having been read 2 separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 44.
Senate File 44 from the Transportation Committee, an act relating to the Military Department.
Senate File 44 having been read 2 separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 46.
Senate File 46 from the Transportation Committee, an act relating to domestic relations.
Senate File 46 having been read 2 separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Just to correct the record on that first bill, Senate File 23, apparently I said Senate File 22 being unable to read numbers. So, Senate File 23 having been read 2 separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 52.
Senate File number 52 from the Minerals Committee, an act relating to motor vehicles.
Senate File 52 has a whole series of amendments. Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 52. And would ask for your favorable consideration. Members, This deals with school districts and the purchase of buses. And we had an interesting conversation yesterday, which led me into a whole series of my own investigation. And I started out reading the Chapter 20 rules of the Department of Education, and they deal with the purchases of buses. And those, as for the, for those of you new members that may not realize this, the state of Wyoming reimburses transportation costs at 100%. And so I had some concerns about how these buses were going to be treated in relation to other buses that are not CNG buses. And my concern was that to justify the cost, there had to be some benefit, and the benefit would be sought through the rule process to extend the life of those buses beyond what our rules currently allow. So I began the process of trying to figure out a way to accommodate that in the bill, and upon further investigation, it was brought to my attention that I don't believe that the sponsors of the bill even met with the Department of Transportation to have these conversations, which is concerning to me because I think it is a little more complicated than what the intention of the bill is. To be clear, it is my hope and intention that someday we will have many natural gas buses in the state of Wyoming. What this amendment does, however, because I believe it needs further study, removes the mandate for school districts to purchase 50% of their fleet to be natural gas. This morning, upon further investigation, we actually contacted the Department of Education and discovered that the department does currently, through rule and regulation and through the statutes that are on the books right now, allow school districts to purchase natural gas buses, CNG buses, and we are currently reimbursing them at 100% of cost. So that further reinforces my point that I don't think we need this amendment. Those areas that have the ability to refuel the buses have the incentive in place now through the state to purchase those at no cost to the district, and I would ask for your favorable consideration of the amendment.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just one point of clarity, and then we'll turn the real brains over to the good representative from Riverton. But we did have the Department of Transportation in, and they talked about the benefits and the problems with natural gas vehicles and their experience that were encouraged by the legislature earlier, and it is a little bit complex, but we didn't do that without talking to them about the benefits of natural gas as a fuel for vehicles, not specifically school buses because that wasn't in their domain, but they have big trucks they talked about, small trucks, long distance vehicles, and then a lot of just shuttle stuff that they've been working on. So we had a pretty good backgrounder on what their thoughts were, and I would hate to quote somebody explicitly, but they think in the future that's the way to go, and that's what we're trying to do with this bill, is to look to the future.
Representative Larson.
Mr. Speaker, we appreciate the work that the good legislative detective from the eastern side of the state put into this, and he is correct that the states can currently purchase natural gas buses, which does make that amendment friendly and acceptable, and we encourage your aye vote in supporting this amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Second time. Second time prior to the sponsor, Chairman Teeters.
Yeah, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. And out of respect to the good Chairman of Minerals, I wasn't suggesting that they didn't talk to the Transportation Department. My suggestion was that the Department of Education, through the Transportation Division, were the folks that were not. And it is complicated. And I appreciate the support of the sponsor. I ask you to vote aye.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 52. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 52 has passed the House. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 52. Representative Paxton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second amendment reading number 2 to Senate File 52. And if you'll look at your bill, it's just a change on page 2, line 13. And it's deleting 50%. And inserting 25%. So it's just a little bit less prescriptive, and I believe that it allows those folks who would like to test the waters on this this new move to do so without jumping in wholeheartedly, just sticking a toe in the water. Thank you.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We're only asking to put 50% of the toe in the water, and he's asking for 25%. I don't think you'll even know whether you're wet or not. I think what we're trying to do is incent the best we can under the statutes and the procedures that we use in the state of Wyoming to have people move towards natural gas vehicles, because a number of us believe that's the future fuel, and it's time that we get started on that integration. And 50%, in my mind, is a better deal than 25% on incentives.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time. Second time prior to the sponsor. We're voting on second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 52. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Chair is in doubt. All in favor, please rise. Those opposed? Second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 52 has failed. We're now on second reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 52. Representative Nicholas.
Apparently the floor didn't want to go whole hog on that last vote. So if you go to page 3, what this amendment does is it just makes it a little bit simpler. I'd move amendment number 3, please. And what this amendment does, it makes it a little bit simpler to opt out if you're an agency of the state, and read into place. I think it makes the most sense if I just read it. Now, under this amendment, it would read, this section shall not apply if the responsible department or agency determines that compliance with the requirements of subsection A of this section is unfeasible or economically impractical, or appropriate compressed natural gas vehicles or compressed natural gas is not available. And so what it does, it takes out that line that I talked about yesterday that says the only reason that you can opt out is if the change or the cost to the vehicle itself is impractical. So it broadens the scope of what the definition of impractical or unreasonable is. For example, if you've got one station in Cheyenne, you're not going to have Cheyenne has over 130 buses. So if we've got one station and these things go about 200 to 250 miles on a full tank of compressed gas. And by the way, these vehicles don't have any underlying compartment space. All the compressed gas is underneath, so there's nothing to lift up around here. That's just the mechanism of these things. But this just says if you're going to have 70 bus drivers waiting in line, and the cost and the impracticality of doing the whole program just doesn't make sense. This allows the entity, the state agency, to opt out. And then the other thing it does, it changes you'll note that what it doesn't change, by the way, is the requirement that if you're going to opt out, you've got to say why, and you've got to report that to the interim committee. But it just makes it easier to opt out if it's impractical, uneconomical, or if natural gas is not available. Thank you.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This cleans up amendments that were made in the other House, which were difficult to read, and I think this is a nice cleanup item, and would support this amendment and encourage the body to do so.
Anyone else for your first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. We're voting on second reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 52. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 52 has passed the House. Senate File 52 having been read 2 separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 74.
Senate File 74 from the Transportation Committee, an act relating to professions and occupations.
Senate File 74, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 78.
Senate File 78 from the Transportation Committee, an act relating to the Military Department.
Senate File 78, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 130.
Senate File number 130 from Senator Landon, an act relating to professions and occupations.
Senate File 130, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 144.
Senate File 144 from Senator Von Flattern, an act relating to community college district boards.
Senate File 144, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We're now at that order of business of third reading and final passage regular list. The only bill for our consideration is Senate File 73. There is an amendment. Representative Coleman. Oh, we better read it first.
Senate File number 73 from the Labor Committee, an act relating to unemployment compensation, be enacted by the state of Wyoming.
Representative Coleman.
Okay, what the third reading amendment does, after meeting with the department.
How about I move third reading amendment
number one to Senate File 73 and ask for your favorable consideration. We changed some of the language after meeting with the department, and we had to take out certified mail just because there were issues with using certified mail for both the recipient and the department, and the cost to the department became an issue. We took out the receipt by electronic mail because the department was also really worried about having the technology to do so, and they don't currently have that, but they're working on a system that could. Most of the changes that we made were actually because we had to be in federal compliance. When we changed the 30 days from 15 days to 30 days, this amendment puts it back to 15 days because the Department of Labor would not approve the 30 days, and the only reason they didn't approve the 30 days is because we have 15 days referenced in a different statute. So we don't have time in this session to go back and change the other statute, so there really isn't enough time to fix everything. What we did change is we had originally, in the First Amendment, we had originally said that the department had 5 days from receiving the employer's reply to acknowledge receipt of that reply. They now have 15 days to acknowledge receipt, and it's actually by the choice of the employer. So if the business says, I need acknowledgement that you've received my information, they check off a box on the form that they send, and then the department has 15 days to say, hey, we got your letter. What the intent is, leaving a lot of this open, is that the department can define by rule a lot of what we were trying to accomplish in the first set of amendments, and they can define it by rule because we're not going to hear back from the Department of Labor in time for us to take any action on this. So we deleted the part that talked about the pattern. What we're hoping to accomplish by rule, what you'll eventually see, is that the number we're hoping for would be 10%. 10% of the claims when unanswered would define a pattern, or 20 individual claims per year, and that kind of takes care of a bigger employer. By the time you reach 20 unanswered claims and 20 erroneous unemployment claims in a year, that's pretty blatant disregard for filling out any of those forms. So that kind of protects the state. It gives them some authority to go after those employers. And then those smaller companies who may mistakenly miss a letter or not meet those time frames, they're not going to be pigeonholed into meeting this pattern. The department, when we met yesterday, agrees that they will use certified mail as an employer starts to reach the definition of pattern. So if it were 10 unanswered claims or 10 erroneous claims paid in a year, if I got to 8 erroneous claims, they'll use certified mail to contact me from that point forward. That way they've got some reassurance and I've got some reassurance that I'm not going to inadvertently fall into the definition of pattern and then be stuck with those penalties for 4 years. This way there's some sort of reassurance. This amendment was the best that we could do with the time that we had in order to fix a problem that needs a lot more attention than this, and needs. There are other statutes that are related to this issue that would have to be changed. I would apologize for I'm going to recommend that we pass a bill that's probably a bad bill, but you have to have something in place, and we don't have an answer or a good enough answer to really make it a good bill. We just don't have enough time for that. So I'm sorry, I'm going to stand up here and recommend to this body that you pass something that is probably bad, but we're just kind of out of time, and we have to be in compliance. It's disappointing because what most of you may not know is we had 2 years to do this, and we're on the very last day and can't come up with something that's going to work. So this amendment leaves it ambiguous enough that the Department of Labor is not going to tell us that we're out of compliance. We're going to meet our federal compliance, and we're going to work, at least I will, work very diligently with the department to make sure the rules reflect what was put into the second reading amendment that sort of protected the innocent employer from making a mistake and then being charged. And I got the math, and it is about $5,400 for an erroneous claim that the employer gets stuck with. So if you miss a letter in the original bill, if you miss two letters, every single claim that you missed from that point forward is about $5,400 per claim that you get stuck with for 3 years. So unfortunately, I urge your aye vote on the amendment and on the bill because we don't have a choice.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a really good example of good hard work and due diligence, and I really commend the bringers of this amendment. It also is an example of a trust me bill in the interim, and it won't happen again, Mr. Speaker. There were some things that were exactly, as Representative Coleman pointed out, that were federal compliance, and there were some things that were the desire of the department. It was through their diligence that those things were found. And as she said, it is important that we support this bill, because if we don't, then we stand to lose up to $17 million in our UI insurance, unemployment insurance. And so we would like to pass this bill and allow the department to promulgate rules, but we promise to keep a diligent eye on those rules as they come forward, so that we can meet these needs. One of the things that was not stated was that the biggest problem that we're facing is not small employers. The small employers don't want this rating. The small employers don't want to pay the additional fees for unemployment insurance. The large employers are the ones that struggle the most to keep up with the turnover that they have in their job market. And so they are the ones who are creating the problem for all the employers. So what we're trying to do through this bill and through the amendment and through the rule process is to target those employers that consistently disregard correspondence from the Department of Workforce Services, and then we're going to try and make sure that we have a way in place. So what happens if we don't? If we don't go through this process, then the employee who is severed from his employment starts receiving benefits. And when the employer says that's stacking up pretty heavily, then he goes in and responds much later after they have received the correspondence that you need to answer this claim. So an employee may receive benefits for 60 or 90 days, and then if it goes to a hearing and they are denied the benefits, the employee is the one who winds up paying back the money. So it's because the employer failed to respond to correspondence from unemployment insurance that we leave employees with a huge payback bill. And so for those reasons, I would urge you to support the amendment and to support the bill.
Anyone else for the first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Representative Coleman.
Call for the question.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 73. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 73 has been adopted. Senate File 73 having been read three separate times, question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Farlow.
Aye.
Ferger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson. Halverson. Harshman. Harvey. Hunt. Hutchings. Yagi. Kasparic. Kirkbride. Croker. Crone. Larson. Lockhart. Laux. Madden. McKim. McKim excused. Miller. Moniz. Nicholas. Northrup. Patton. Paxton. Petroff. Pieperinen. Reeder. Semlick. Summers excused. Stubson. Teeters. Throne. Wallace. Walters. Watt. Wilson. Winters. Swanitzer Dan. Swanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker. Halverson. Halverson excused. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 1 no, 3 excused.
Senate File 73, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 73 has passed the House. We're at that order of business of consideration of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, general file for today is as listed on the yellow sheet, and I'm determined to make it to the bottom of the page. Mr. Speaker, I move that the House resolve itself into committee of the whole.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House has resolved itself into committee of the whole. Representative Connolly, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If you could join me in welcoming from UW and around the state students who are part of the Wyoming Education Access Day, if you could all stand up. There are folks here from around the state. They are part of Gear Up Wyoming, in part where there are 2,000 income-eligible 7th to 12th grade students and their families, as well as the TRIO program at UW. They're here to visit with the governor and to observe us, and they have given us a peppermint patty. Okay.
Welcome to the House. Representative Eklund. Well,
Mr. Chair.
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The Chair recognizes Representative Larson.
Mr. Chair, privilege of the floor, if I may.
You may.
Members of the House, up in the South Gallery, we have the Governor's newly appointed chairman to the Eastern Shoshone Tribe, a former classmate in law school with Chairman Gangry. Her and her family, wonderful people from her home on Boulder Flat, south of Fort Washakie, Mrs. Sarah Robinson. Sarah, would you stand?
The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 0113, Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry.
Oh, yep. Reading read.
Senate File 113 from Senator Johnson, an act relating to insurance, expanding coverage under the Insurance Guarantee Association Act, amending time limits for filing claims under the Insurance Guarantee Association Act, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 113, Insurance Guarantee Association Act Amendments, respectfully report saying back to the House for the recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Blickery, Byrd, Gay, Green, Kirkbride, Paxton, Petroff, and Dan Swanitzer, signed by Representative Berger, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate Bill 113 do pass, and I wholeheartedly defer explanation to the bill to the good gentleman from Laramie, Representative Green. He's been waiting for 2 days to give this bill.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Like a good neighbor, I'll bring you this insurance bill. It's about consumer protection. It has to do with the Wyoming Guarantee Fund. And essentially what the Wyoming Guarantee Fund is, all the insurance providers pay 1-2% of the previous year's assessed value into this fund. This fund is not with, there's no fiscal note associated with this bill. So essentially what we're trying to do is prevent a national guarantee fund. There's a movement to create a national guarantee fund. Our insurance providers do not want to have a national guarantee fund. For example, say there's a superstorm that hits three states in the East Coast, and that superstorm causes billions of dollars worth of damage. By having a state guarantee fund, our state licensing, our state insurance providers do not pay into that when those companies go insolvent. So essentially what the guarantee fund does is create a fund paid for by the insurance companies that if an insurance provider goes bankrupt, people can still receive the money, even though that insurance provider went insolvent, and that is what this bill deals with. And then specifically, if you go through the bill, working on the definitions on page 1, and as you go into page 2, the C, D, E, and F, those are all exempt. So we're trying to say that punitive damages, exemplary damages, are exempt from claims. As you get into line F, incurred but not reported damages, those would be like environmental claims and asbestos that can go on for a long time. We're trying to make sure that's understood, that those claims are exempt. As you get into the next page, Romanet 2, we're removing the $250 because it came cost prohibitive to have the deductible at that amount, so we're getting rid of that. On Romanet 3, we're going from $150,000 to $300,000 for a claim. That is in line with the rest of the nation. There are only a few states still at the $150,000. Some states have worked all the way up to $500,000, and we're just in line with the vast majority of other states by moving to $300,000. As you move on to page 4, we're creating a bar date, either using the court date or 25 months after the claim. We want to make sure it's understood that there's no end date, that these claims just don't go on infinitum. So we're creating a bar date regarding that court date or the 25 months. And I will stand for any questions about the guarantee fund. And I really appreciate working on the Corporations Committee and being able to learn about such fascinating topics as insurance.
The question having been called, all those in favor of Representative Berger's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Bill number Senate File 0113 do pass. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The bill passes the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for your consideration is Senate File 0162, Representative Davidson. Oh, I'm sorry. Hang on. we need to read the bill.
Senate File 162 from Senator Kraft, an act relating to the taking of wildlife, providing an exception to the prohibition against taking eagles, granting rulemaking authority, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 162, authorized taking of an eagle, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representative Blevins, Davison, Freeman, Halverson, Hutchings, Yagi, Crone, Pieperinen, one excused, Representative Gay, signed by Representative Davison, Chairman.
Chairman Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 162 do pass. And I'll turn the explanation of the bill over to my good friend from Fremont County. Thank you.
Representative Goggles.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. House members, today I bring you Senate File 162, authorized taking of an eagle. In your inbox, you should have gotten a summary. It's in two parts, part one and part two. I will address part two first, but in terms of the bill itself, we are adding amending language on page 1, 23.3.101, taking eagle prohibited. And that's page 1. The second page is the effective date of the act. Let me begin by saying that 23.101 brings Wyoming statute and brings our Wyoming statute into compliance with the Wyoming Fish and Game Chapter 25 rules and regulations governing the taking of golden eagles for falconry purposes. That would be a master falconer. Falconry is a sport of hunting with trained birds for prey, for those of you that aren't familiar with falconry. The history behind this proposed legislation is that in July of 2011, the new regulations, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Game regulations, delegated the administration of falconry to state fish and game and fish commissions and departments. In January of 2012, Wyoming Game and Fish Commission complied and wrote Chapter 25 rules and regulations, which are in Section 8 and in compliance with federal law. What this section says is that a master falconer is authorized by the department to take no more than two golden eagles in any one year, and then only in an area of livestock or wildlife depredation. During the time the depredation area is in effect, there are a couple of definitions. Taking is a federal definition that means to capture, to pursue, to kill. That is the federal definition. That's the definition we will use. Depredation area is a livestock area, livestock or wildlife depredation area. That definition is established by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, their wildlife division, with the Wyoming Game and Fish, I believe. And when there's a taking to occur by a master falconry, there has to be a biologist present in that area. The depredation area generally is during the months of December, January, February, March. That is a time when adult eagles are caring for their newborns, their young, but at the same time, livestock owners are lambing. And so there is a depredation. The top predator in this case is the coyote. Second is the golden eagle. And the data that we heard in committee in 2010, approximately 2,100 lambs were taken by the top two predators, coyotes and eagles. Going to the two parts of this bill, there are basically two parts as I put in the in the summary, and I'll take part two first. Taking of an eagle by authorized commission rules that are in compliance with federal law. Part two allows the legislation to take eagles as long as the taking is authorized by the Wyoming Game Fish Commission regulations and compliance with federal law. Part 2 allows falconers to capture and possess golden eagles for falconry. Currently, the Commission's falconry regulations, which is in compliance with federal law, allows a master falconer with an eagle permit to take a golden eagle under very specific conditions and stipulations. And the first part is taking of an eagle authorized by federal law. That's the other part of this this very short amendment. The legislation would allow for the taking of any eagle, bald or golden, anywhere in the state of Wyoming, as long as the person was approved, permitted by the federal government, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the Wyoming Game and Fish Commission, or the Wyoming Game and Fish Department. This would allow also the tribes from the Wind River Reservation, again, if properly permitted by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, to take an eagle within the state of Wyoming. Mr. Chairman, that's pretty much the bill, and I'll stand for questions.
Mr. Chairman, I forgot to move the amendment, and it's on page 1 on the catch title. It's after eagle, you would put it under federal and state law. So I would move that amendment at this time.
Okay, we are moving the amendment, standing committee amendment number 1 to House Bill 160 or Senate File 162. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment is passes. We're back on the bill. Is there any? Seeing no further discussion, question has been called for. All those in favor of Representative Davidson's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report, they do so with an aye vote on, I think I'm doing this wrong, Senate File 162, please say aye.
Aye.
No. Opposed, no. Bill passes. Committee of the whole. We are now on Senate File 168, 186. Okay. Senate File 186. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 86, as introduced by Senator J.D. Anderson, an act relating to counties, clarifying days of operation and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 86, engrossed County Offices, Business Days, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Blickery, Byrd, Green, Kirkbride, Paxton, Petroff, Dan Zwanitzer, one excused, Representative Gay, signed by Representative Blickery, Vice Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Representative Berger? No. Representative Blickery.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 86 do pass.
Representative Reeder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 86, what this bill basically does is some of the county didn't have in the statutes where if they have a special day like they're celebrating Glen Rock Days or some special occasion, that the counties did not have the availability of doing that. So all this does is add the language in here that all county officers shall keep their offices open during the usual business hours of each day, excluding Saturdays, Sundays, and legal holidays. That's basically it. So I'd stand for any questions or the question.
Representative Blickery.
Mr. Chairman, I forgot to move the amendment, so I also recommend that I remove the adoption of the Standing Committee amendment.
Okay, we are on the Standing Committee amendment number one to Senate File 86. Representative Zwanacher.
Chairman, since my name's on it, I'm pretty sure it's just a Committee of the Whole amendment, not a Standing Committee amendment. But I'll move Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 to 86 at this time and ask for its favorable consideration. What the amendment does is take the bill back to the way it was originally introduced in the other body. There are some concerns brought after passage of the bill that we may have gone a little too far with adding the language or other days established by the county commissioners through resolution. There is some concern that this would, not that mischief would happen, but some could occur if the county commissioners, the resolution closed, like the courthouse, and we had certain things, liens or other tax issues that were due in the courthouse that day or trials. So they just wanted to take it back to the original wording that the bill came in. Certainly support the bill, support it a lot more than the amendment. I'd stand for any questions.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Chairman, on and in favor of this amendment. This bill without this amendment scares me because I do the kind of legal work where things have to be done in the courthouse by a deadline, and I've had trouble before with these deadlines where there's a de facto holiday going on in the courthouse, and I've had to really go way out of my way in order to meet those deadlines. And so if we were going to have additional holidays that were declared by the county commissioners, at least there ought to be some mechanism in here for giving everybody notice, and there's not. So I think this Committee of the Whole amendment is needed, and I think it takes the bill back to a workable place, and I'd urge you to vote in favor.
Question having been called, we are on the Committee of the Whole amendment number one to Senate File 86. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The bill, the amendment passes. We're back on the bill. Question having been called, on Senate File 86, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The bill passes Committee of the Whole. We are now on Senate File 99. The reading bill will read the bill.
Senate File number 99 from Senator Christensen, an act relating to water and sewer districts, providing that electors and voters include qualified electors and landlord owners, amending requirements for directors and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 99, Water and Sewer District Electors, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Blickery, Byrd, Green, Kirkbride, Paxton, Petroff, Dan Zwanitzer, one excuse, Representative Gay, signed by Representative Blickery, Vice Chairman.
Representative Berger.
Thank you, Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 99 do pass, and I'll defer to Representative Petroff for the explanation of the bill.
Representative Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So you all have a handout in your box that on the top right-hand corner says HD 16, just gives you a little bit of background on this bill. We've talked a lot about special districts this session and how the statutes are kind of all over the place and it aren't real consistent. This bill is in regard to water and sewer districts. 12 of the special districts currently allow a landowner to be a qualified elector, which means that they can vote in the special in the special district elections, and they can serve on the board. And what we're trying to do is to get water and sewer districts to be in that group as well. Part of the problem that we have is that in particularly in commercial districts, there are oftentimes just renters or even short-term lodging properties where there aren't very many qualified electors, there aren't people who are willing to serve on these boards, there aren't people who are knowledgeable to serve on these boards. And so, you know, we're just trying to add landowners into that group. Again, it's not, it's already done for 12 other special districts. The county clerks are used to doing it. They worked with us on this bill to help us make it consistent with those other 12 special districts. The other thing the bill does is we've taken out the word tax-paying electors just because it's confusing. It doesn't refer to whether it's property tax, sales tax, who knows. So we took out the word tax-paying on page 2 on lines 8 and 23. And I will stand for questions with that.
Question being called. We are voting on Senate File 99. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 99 is passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 9. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 9 from the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to real property, clarifying provisions, defining private transfer fee, making permanent the private transfer fee prohibition, specifying that the transfer of mineral rights, interests and obligations, and service rights appertain to severed mineral rights, interests and obligations are exempt from private transfer fee provisions and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 9 engrossed private transfer fees, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Connolly, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Walters, and Watt. 1 no vote, Representative Gingery, signed by Representative Gingery, Chairman.
Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that House or Senate File 9 do pass. And this was a committee-sponsored bill that came through during the interim. And I was trying to remember what it did. So if I recall correctly, so we passed this bill, I'm thinking 2 years, 3 years ago, a private transfer fee prohibition. But to get it passed previously, we put in a moratorium, sort of, that this a sunset. And you'll find that on page 3 of your bill on line 9 and 10. What it says is a private transfer fee obligation recorded or entered into in this state on or after April 1st, 2012, and before July 1st, 2014. So if we don't pass this bill, on July 1st, 2014, the private transfer fees prohibition goes away. So what this bill is doing is crossing out the July 1st, 2014. And so now there'll be no sunset on this anymore, and private transfer fee obligations will be prohibited in the state of Wyoming. Because they were doing that bill, some people, and particularly in the, I think in the minerals arena, came forward with a few small tweaks to the bill. You'll see that on page 2. They stuck in the word lease, so it was clear. And then they made it clear at the bottom of page 3 that nothing in this affects transfers of mineral rights, interests, or obligations. Those small things got put in. But primarily what you're doing is taking that sunset off of it. And just to remind you what private transfer fees were, because we spent hours debating this previously. So if a developer goes to develop his property, sometimes, and there's lots of different reasons why they would do it, they would put a fee onto every time that parcel changes hands. So, and you could put a time limit on it if you wanted to, but sometimes they go on for a long time. So every time you sold your property, there might be a 1% transfer fee that goes back to the developer. Sometimes those are used for upkeep and maintenance of the subdivision. Other times they're used for other things. In Wyoming, we decided that we did not want developers putting private transfer fees on property, and so we agreed to do this prohibition, but we weren't sure how it was going to work, so we put sort of this two-year pilot project in place, and so what this bill does is take the pilot project off, and it makes it permanent.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a little bit more background. That 2014 deadline, it wasn't really set as a sunset. What it was set as is a placeholder, because there was some concern. The initial bill that we did on private transfer fees was pretty detailed, and there was some concern that we didn't want to do anything inadvertent to property transfers. So over the interim, as Judiciary went back and looked, and the primary concern was with the implications that this might have with wind mineral development and mineral right transfers. That's why you see the additional language in here. And because we were able to make sure that we weren't affecting those in a way we didn't intend, that's why that 2014 language came out. And that really was the intent from the beginning, was to give us a little pause to make sure that we got it right before we put it permanently into law. So. And as the good chairman mentioned, we could spend an hour here talking about what private transfer fees are and the problems we were trying to avoid by eliminating them. But I'll just leave it that if there are any questions on it, I'd be happy to answer them.
Being no questions being called for.
Chairman.
Oh, Representative Patton.
I do have a question. In this, it says that the, application of the no transfer fee shall not apply to mineral rights and interests of other obligations. Does that imply then, by interpretation, that the original owner is entitled to a fee in some perpetuity, or is there some termination that I don't understand?
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And maybe a partial answer to that question and just some more information on this. This bill came up, I don't know, 2 years ago. The mineral industry in Wyoming was somewhat worried about this bill. That's why the sunset was put on there. They don't want this applying to mineral estates or mineral rights. For example, in oil and gas, the mineral rights are sometimes broken down to depth. One company may lease 0 to 5,000 feet, another company may lease 5,000 to 10,000 feet for oil and gas exploration. So this is meant to apply just to the surface estate, where if you sell a lot or something in a subdivision, that someone can't tack on a 1% fee every time it sells into the future. That's fine. That's what this bill is trying to do. It has nothing to do with the mineral folks, because that's all private negotiations that go on with the original owner of the minerals, whether it be a rancher or someone that's acquired a lease through the Wyoming State Lands or through the BLM. So the bill is good as is, and I ask you to vote for it.
Seeing no more discussion, question being called, we're voting on Senate File 9, Private Transfer Fees. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The bill has passed the Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 115. The reading bill will please read the bill.
Senate File 115 from Senator Nutting, an act relating to Child and Adult Protective Services, amending requirements for investigations, amending definitions, establishing a standard of proof, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 115, Protective Services Investigation Amendments, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Connolly, Gingrey, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Walters, and Watt. signed by Representative Crone, Vice Chairman.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee of the whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 115 do pass. It's just a real fast cleanup bill. What you'll see is DFS actually uses the words investigation and assessments. They don't use the word verifications. So they were just clarifying that they're assessing to verify a report of child abuse. And then again, you'll see that over on page 3, that they do assessments and investigations. And then the big part of this bill is something that DFS has just been doing it this way. But just to make it clear in the law, on page 3, lines 15, 16, it used to say that then when they went to investigate, that they just had to show credible evidence, which is almost nothing. And now what we're saying is they got to show by a preponderance of the evidence, so, you know, more than 51%. They got to have something going there before they actually bring it. And that's really how DFS has been operating, but DFS wanted it in the statute so it was clear as to what the burden was that they needed to get to for a report to be substantiated.
Question being called on Senate File 115, Protective Services Investigation Amendments. Although those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate File 115 passes the Committee of the Whole. Majority floor leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move Committee of the Whole rise and sit again at 1:30.
Okay, we have a committee announcement or two. Oh, I'm Chairman Simlick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two announcements. Select Water Committee will meet upon adjournment in S-15 for a briefing on the Montana versus Wyoming lawsuit. And until the majority floor leader made his announcement, the conference committee on 156 was going to meet at 1:30 in H11. So we're going to do it anyway. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, having now run into a hail of bullets, I'm going to amend my motion to reconvene at 2 o'clock.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Conference Committee number 2 on House Bill 112 will be meeting tomorrow, Thursday, at 12:30 in S-14. 12:30 tomorrow, S-14. Thank you.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your Committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, we'll meet tomorrow, 10 minutes after adjournment in H-17, to talk about interim topics. And then we will meet with the like committee Friday at noon, same room, to talk about interim topics.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 10, Labor, will meet today, 10 minutes upon adjournment, where we will hear unemployment compensation direct sales, that Senate File 153. And then we'll meet again tomorrow morning to consider Senate File 56, tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., Room H-17, to consider Senate File 56, Access to Records, Vulnerable Adult Abuse. Your conference committee on, or the first joint conference committee on House Bill 102 will meet at 1:30 today in the House Labor Room H-17 to discuss Bill 102.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet tomorrow at noon with their like committee to discuss interim topics. Also, if anyone else is interested in coming with us at 7:45 in the Judiciary Room, we will meet and we will leave from there to go to Dispatch Center for Highway Patrol, and we will be back by 10 o'clock. So if you'd like to join us on that fun field trip, please come with us.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Joint Conference Committee number 1 on Senate File 159 will meet at 1:30 in the Senate Judiciary Room, and if I can have a quick privilege of the floor, I'll just make the announcement at the same time that Majority Party Caucus will be held upon adjournment in B63.
Representative Blickery.
Mr. Chairman, your committee number 7, Corporations, will meet with its like committee tomorrow, Thursday, February 21st at 8:30 a.m. in room H18 to discuss interim topics.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 2, Appropriations, will meet tomorrow, Thursday, the 21st at 9 a.m. in room 204 to hear Senate file 149, a re-referral on complimentary hunting license, and Senate file 125, public employees' requirements upon rehiring, number 2.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Privilege. Your minority caucus will be meeting upon noon recess in Hirschler 1699, and you're all welcome.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just hearing from the Senate counterpart on the conference committee from House Bill 102, they've been called into another meeting at 1:30, so that meeting will be rescheduled, the conference committee on House Bill 102.
Seeing no further announcements, the committee of the whole will recess until 2 o'clock. No? Oh, okay. Vote on the motion is required. All those in favor of recessing till 2 o'clock, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no? Motion passes.